Just one. Apparently, I need double the help. Double the help this morning, apparently.
Father God, we thank you for our dear sister Christy. We thank you for what she has learned about you during her study time, Lord. We thank you that you have blessed her, even before you've blessed us with it. Father, we pray that her words would be your words for us, and that our hearts would be open and ready to receive. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I can read it here and I can tell you it's good.
Hey, no cheating.
God is the one with the power. Mm. May he fill you this morning as you deliver his word. In Jesus' name.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Thank you. Now, I will just... I always feel like I have to... Joe always says, you know, we're up here not because we are great knowledgey people that know all the things, or you don't. We literally know very little. In fact, the more you know, the less we know. We know, and we're here because, you know, we're a small chapel, and we all do our part in building this chapel up. And sometimes it's standing at the front, and sometimes it's making tea or bringing delicious cakes. We have an amazing cake maker who is always encouraging us with cakes. Sometimes it's just that conversation at the beginning of the day. Every person in the chapel is valuable. The person at the front is no more valuable than the person, and obviously I really don't know that much more than any of you, really. So, and some of you definitely know way more than I do. But I'm also going to just, I had a bit, I don't like to sit with it too long, even though it's not my natural thing to be up here. I don't like to give it more than a week, because otherwise it's super stressful. You think about it too much. And as you know, last week I didn't even know what I was going to talk on. And then I sort of remembered during Joe's talk, I remembered that something I had been thinking about doing. But, so my plan was, I wasn't working on Monday, and I was going to spend a good chunk of time on Monday preparing. But as some of you know, sadly, we had a bit of a traumatic event, and I walked the dog, I was walking Boaz, and I threw a ball, and it landed in a wasp's nest, and he got stung multiple times. I got stung multiple times, and I had to carry him, and he's a bit chonky and overweight at the moment, so I was like, this is definitely the power of the Lord. But, you know, I had to carry him to the vet, and he had to spend the afternoon at the vet, and I was in no place to do any kind of preparation. And then I went to bed and I thought, oh my word, that ball is still in the wasp's nest. I cannot leave it in the wasp's nest. What if another dog tries to go and get it? So the following day, I went back and got stung again. Because I took my long pole and I tried to flick it out, but they still got me. And one got in my hair and stung my head. And that was, and I do appreciate anyone who did pray, because that was the worst. I felt awful on Tuesday. Very headachy, very sick, and I actually went to bed and slept for 12 hours. So that was, I woke up the next day and my head, the worst one, was feeling much better. So thank you for praying. So that was 2 days basically of my week that I got completely knocked out. So I'm a little bit out of sync. So apologies if my delivery is not right or good, but I'm trusting in the Lord. And I was just thinking, I'm going to, because it's the summer holidays, I really liked Joe's storytelling of the event of the crucifixion, because it really makes it real. And I thought, I'll do something the same. But what struck me, I don't know about you, what struck me when Jo was doing her talk last week was thinking back to when I did my talk about all the stars in the universe and the size of the universe, and Jesus creating that and then submitting himself to what Jo was talking about last week. Isn't that just awesome? Isn't that just awesome? Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about today. I am going to be doing 1 Kings 18, verse 16, which I think is page 359 in the Old Testament, but my Bible's the same in the new, but not the old. I don't know how that works, but so is it around there and then?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to read it. I misconnect, so I'm going to treat me like my Connect children, and I'm going to tell the story. Now, actually, what is quite amazing is one of the reasons that I love this passage is Lynn. I remember at Connect hearing this passage for the first time because Lynn was teaching the children it, and I was sat in the back going, that's amazing! And I still to this day remember and think of it, and it's one of my favourites, because you know, actually, when you teach children, if you ever want to learn the Bible, teach children, because you have to learn the Bible to teach children, so it's a good thing. So, we're basically starting in Israel, at the time of the kings. The kings came because God was Israel's king, and then they said, no, we want to be like everyone else, and so they asked for a real king, and basically not a great idea. And they started with Saul, who wasn't great. David was great. Solomon started great, ended up not great. But basically, that set the pattern for the rest of the kings, some good, some bad. Basically, introducing other religions and other false idols into God's own kingdom, where God had worked miracle after miracle. That is why the kings are evil. And we've come to the time of Ahab, and it says for Ahab, he was the most evil. So he was, of all of the ones up till this point, he was the most evil. And that is partly because he did one of the things that God had asked people not to do. He married outside of Israel. He married Jezebel, and Jezebel brought with her worship of Baal and Asherah, and set up Asherah poles and set up temples for Baal in God's kingdom with the people that God had founded, which is a truly evil thing to do. And not only that, they actively chased down and tried to kill the prophets of the Lord. So they were really not great. And into this comes Elijah, who is a prophet of the Lord. And we know he's a prophet of the Lord because God told him things and he told people the things. So he told the people there was going to be a drought, and there was a drought. And then he did things on behalf of the Lord. There was a widow who he gave an everlasting pot of oil and an everlasting bushel of flour or whatever to keep her through so she didn't starve, and then he brought her son back to life. So we have witness to his goodness from the Lord. We know he is from the Lord. And so we're coming into a point where he has asked for a meeting with King Ahab, who hates him, which was kind of brave if you ask me. And when King Ahab comes, he comes to meet him and he says, here is the troubler of Israel. That's what he thought Elijah was, because Elijah spoke the truth. And Ahab's like, Elijah said, I'm not the troubler of Israel, you are. You have abandoned God, you have set your family above God, you are the one that is causing trouble in Israel, and I want to prove this to you. I want you to gather all of the people of Israel on Mount Carmel, and I want you to invite the prophets of Baal. There are 450 prophets of Baal, there are 400 prophets of Asherah, and I want you to invite them to come and meet me on the mountain. And so Ahab agreed, and that's what they did. And then Elijah stood before, they gathered all on the mountain, Elijah stood before them and said, how long are you going to stand on the fence? How long are you going to waver between two? You can't worship Baal and worship the Lord. You just can't. You have to choose one. And the people said nothing. There was nothing to say. They just were like, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Still staying on the fence. So he said, okay, I am going to prove to you the Lord is God. And this is how I'm going to do it. There are 450 prophets of Baal, and then there's me. They are going to gather some wood and set a pyre. And they're going to be two bulls. They can choose first. You can choose first. You can choose the first bull. And I'm going to do the same. And then we are not going to light the pyres. We are going to call. They're going to call on their God. And I'm going to call on the God. And we'll see whose God shows up. So the people are like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Let's do that. Let's do that. And so the prophets of Baal, they built their pyre. I don't know how they built it. Sticks. I don't make fires. Kira does that. And then put the bull, chose the bull, put it on top. And then that was it. They were like, oh, Baal, answer us. Answer us, oh, Baal. Baal, answer us. Nothing. And they did that for like 3 hours, which is so boring. Could you imagine? Just sitting there listening. Just yelling and calling out, answer us, oh, Baal. They started doing a little, I don't know how they danced, around the pyre, the little jig around the pyre. Answer us, answer us. Around noon, which is far longer than I would have waited, I think. I haven't got my events page on. Around noon, Elijah was there, and then he was like, okay, shout louder. Yeah, surely he's God. Perhaps he's deep in thought. Maybe he's busy. He could be travelling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. and basically mocked them to the point that they then like, we need to step this up. So they got their swords and their spears and they started slashing themselves until their blood flowed, which was apparently their custom. How awful is that? So they were slashing themselves, "Oh, Baal, answer us," and dancing around with their blood spattering everywhere and calling on Baal all through the afternoon until the evening. And the pyre stood, nothing happened. And then Elijah stood up and said, "My turn. I'm going to do this now." So what he did, excuse me, he found a broken down altar of the Lord and he rebuilt it with the 12 stones of Israel. He put them back up. He built up the altar of the Lord. He built the pyre on top of the altar of the Lord. He dug a trench around it and then he put the bull on top. And he said, "You see those four enormous jars over there? Go and fill them with water and come and pour them all over." So the servants went, or somebody went, and they brought them water and they poured it all over. And he's like, "Let's do that again. Four more jars, pour it all over." So they went and they got the jars and they poured it all over. And he said, "One more time, let's just do that one more time." So they got another four jars and they poured it all over and the trench was filled with water, it says. And then he prayed. And his prayer, oh, it's so beautiful. I love his prayer. His prayer, he said, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and I have done these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." Kaboom! Down came the fire, instantaneously set the pyre alight to the point that the stones melted. Do you know how hot it has to be for stones to melt? Like 600 to 1200 degrees Celsius. The stones melted. Instant answer from the God of all the power and the God of thing. And then at that point, the people who'd all been sitting on the fence fell prostrate and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And then Israel said, "Capture all the Elijah said, capture all the prophets," and he had them put to death. So, you know, and I tell it like a story because I think they're good. It's easy to hear like a story, but it wasn't just a story. It was an event that happened. And when we think about that, I mean, how awesome would it have been to have been there and just seen God's power so mighty and so instantaneous? I mean, it would have been boring for a day, but then it would have been worth the wait, I think, to see that. You know, God is awesome. But so this passage to me, there are three sort of sections that I'm going to talk through. One is false idols and gods. That's where I'm going to start. And it's so easy to look back and go, why on earth would they do that? That's like so pointless of them. Why would you worship this false idol when you've seen God doing work in his kingdom, his history of working miracles for his kingdom? But God designed us and created us and built us. And God is God and almighty and all powerful and giant. And he designed us so we are designed to worship something greater than us. We are designed, every human being is designed to worship something. But what God didn't do is command that we worship him. So we have a desire to worship. He desires us to worship him, but we choose as people, we choose who we're going to worship. And since the very beginning, since Adam and Eve, people chose to disobey God and worship other things instead. And today, you know, false religions then, we still have false religions now. I'm just going to put my pen across because the paper keeps blowing it. We still have false religions now because essentially anything that doesn't have roots in Judaism or Christianity is complete lies. Complete lies. There's nothing true about it whatsoever. And anyone who thinks they are going to get anywhere without Jesus and his blood, completely mistaken. So the world is full of false religions. And to be fair, even some Christians, they're not real Christians, it's false Christianity, you know, where everyone is susceptible to it. So we have false religions, but we also, I mean, look at what else we and throughout the history of time, we worship money, sex, power, position, fame, adoration. People are desiring that. Even hatred. Some people just love to be angry, don't they? They love that. That's what they desire to be. Atheism is a false religion, even though they would claim it's not a religion. But even things that we might term as good, our leisure things, you know, our homes and our families and travel and food and all those things can become idols. And essentially, there's one thing at the root of all of those idols and all of the sins that Alan was talking about. Actually, there's a lot. Everything this morning, when Alan was talking, when Ian was talking, and when Julian was singing, I was like, oh, I've got that in my talk. Oh, I've got that in my talk. Isn't it so good of God? He's so good. But essentially, the one thing that's at the centre of that is the desire to please ourselves more than the desire to please God. And that's at the centre of every sin. That's why I is in the centre of sin. I remember Ian saying that many moons ago. I is at the centre of sin. It's the centre of, and it's the beginning of idolatry, you know. And that's so easy for us to do. And we are tempted by our flesh, but as from the very beginning, we're tempted by the great tempter, Satan, whose desire is not for us to worship him, actually. He doesn't actually even care if we believe that he exists. There is, I can't remember who said the quote, someone will probably know, but the greatest lie he ever convinced the world of is that he doesn't exist. He doesn't care about us. We are pawns. He just desires that we don't worship God, and therefore God doesn't have us, because he only cares about being against God. He is who he's in the chess match with. We're just the pawns on the board, and he's using us to hurt God, because what he wants is to steal, kill, and destroy, to drag us into hell with him. That's his desire. He doesn't give two hoots about us. And some of the things that we do feel good. You know, he masquerades as an angel of light. You don't always look at it and go, well, that's a sin. One of mine is reading. And you just think, what can you go wrong with reading? I can read to the exclusion of all else. Poor Kira can't get a word in. She's talked to me, and about five sentences later, she's realised I haven't heard a single word she's saying because I'm somewhere else in my book. And that's, you know, that's not healthy. But too much of any of those things, too much of any of those false idols leads to harm. Whereas too much of God, the real God, it never leads to harm. There's nothing harmful about spending. In fact, the more time you spend with God, to the better. And we can even see the differences in these passages. When they are commanding Baal, they're literally just yelling. There's no conversation. There's no acknowledgement of who he is. They're commanding him because ultimately they want to be in command. They want to be in control. So they're the ones that are just commanding him, come down. And when Elijah prays, he prays. He seeks him. He puts God up. He builds him up and puts himself as a servant. And therefore, good things happen. And, you know, in that whole thing, there was a waste of an entire day. An entire day was spent on shouting into the void, on shouting into nothing, and seeking something that wasn't there and would give no good thing. And that's what I feel about my Bibles. My reading, not the Bible. If I read the Bible for a day, I'd be like, woohoo, full of gold! For some reason, I don't. But time spent with God is never shouting into an empty void. God always listens. God is always going to answer your prayer. God is always going to be with you. He has promised that throughout the Bible. And it's an edifying thing to spend time with God. It's not edifying to spend all day yelling and harming themselves, like slashing themselves with spears and swords and causing their blood to flow to try and be in control. How destroying is that? And then you have Elijah a few passages later building up the altar of God. It's a good thing. He builds up and the enemy destroys. And it is worth building God up. And this is God's power that he sneaked a peek at. God is worth building up. For a start, God has never asked us to shed our blood. And yet, as Joe very vividly described to us last week, he shed his own blood for us. We don't need to slash ourselves with spear because he was stuck in the side. We don't need to slash ourselves with sword. He was whipped and crucified and had a crown of thorns, he was flowing blood for us. That's the God we serve, the God that does it for us. And he is, you know, the one thing that really struck me in this passage is, and for us to consider, is we on earth, we need to have no earthly power to represent God, because God is the one with all the power. You know, just I am enough, just you are enough to effect a massive change in the kingdom of God, because we have God who has all the power. You look at that one Elijah versus the 450 prophets of Baal, but no one on that mountain was openly for Elijah. He was one against everyone. But with God, numbers don't mean anything, because God has all the power. And for us, you know, it's one true God versus millions of false idols. But numbers have no power with God. Just God has the power. And so as Christians, as people who have dedicated ourselves, we still get tempted into those false idols. I am still putting myself before God many, many times. But that fundamental understanding of who God is will bring me back every time. We talked about that, you know, singing, basically, our house is built on the rock. Our house is built on the rock. So even when we might let something we shouldn't let in, we have ultimate power in that the God is within us and can always expel whatever we let in. And we trust him to always be in charge. He is protecting ourselves, one God, from the millions of things that will try and tempt us and cause us harm. So what is our role? You know, I love the fact that one is enough. We look at our chapel, we are small, but we can be super mighty for God because we have God at our heart. And that is an encouragement I constantly think of with this chapel. In God's power, we have done so many things. So many broken people have come to us and gone away healed. Not because we've healed them, but we've just provided a place where God can heal them. And I want that to be an encouragement for us. No matter how many numbers we have in this chapel, God has always been in here. He was here with two old ladies. He was here when we had about 50. He's here when we've got about 30. He's always here. And so numbers don't matter with God. But let's have a look at Elijah and his faithfulness. For a start, I mean, how brave was he to go up to Ahab, who had all the power and wanted him dead? The fact that he even met with him in the first place, because God had asked him to, that shows such faithfulness. And he was called the troubler of Israel because he was the only one willing to speak the truth. He was the only one willing to speak for God and against the crowd. And increasingly, for us today, that is something we have to do, because the world tells us so many of the fundamental truths of God are wrong and evil, and they are the ones that are being fooled. But we still have to be brave enough to stand up and say that. And that's really hard. You can have the faith to believe it, but having the bravery to say it sometimes. I want to be liked, so I never want to say anything that might cause someone to think, oh, she's a bit weird. And that's a struggle. That's one of my problems I have to deal with. You know, he was so trusting. Elijah was so trusting of God that he was willing to taunt and mock in the middle of this. So not only was he up against all these people, he was mocking them for how rubbish their God was. He had such faith in God. And he didn't qualify it with, well, maybe God will show up and maybe he doesn't. And sometimes we do that when we pray for people, or when we're praying for something. We think, well, God, you know, maybe he will, and maybe we sometimes do it in our head, or we sometimes might say it out loud. Elijah made no such qualification, and God showed up. If God hadn't showed up, Elijah might have grumbled, because he could grumble. But Elijah would have still trusted that God had a reason for not showing up. And that's what we have to do. We have to step out in that faith. And one of the things that Elijah does in all of this, he puts God first. He builds up God first. That's the first thing he does. And then he goes out to do what other things that he needs to do. His desires are in alignment with God. And that's, you know, my challenge to you. And in fact, he wasn't, like, one of the reasons, you know, he wasn't seeking to build up his own power is the next chapter. He ran for his life. He was absolutely petrified because Jezebel was like, I'm going to get you. you killed my prophet, so I'm coming after you, I'm going to kill you. So he ran away and hid. There was no power in what he did, because it wasn't about Elijah. It was about God. And that is one of the things that we really have to do, is put down ourselves and pick up and put God first. And that's my I'm leaving you with this challenge of thought, that if, and it is true, that God is the power, so we don't need to have any power, earthly power. We need to have no earthly power, because he's the one with power. How much do I step out in that? How much do you actually step out in faith with that? How willing are you also to look foolish? I mean, we we honour these prophets of God, and we think how awesome and amazing and fantastic they are. None of their peers thought they were. They all thought they were a bit weird and odd and strange, and they would lie down on their sides and be fed by ravens. They were odd little people who still spoke truth. And in God's big picture, that's more important than us being thought well of and being liked. How willing are we, how willing am I, to be thought of as foolish? So I shall leave you with that thought. Thank you very much, and I think we will... I'll challenge you to answer me next week. How foolish have you been?
Thank you.
No.
Christy, you might have to finish with that song again, Holy is the Lord. We sang this now, so we can sing the whole thing. I've got half of it. My assistant, a beautiful assistant. Oh, the upstanding, if you like.
I don't know about you, but I feel like I've had a lecture in building construction. Potholes, solid rocks, rain, wind, you name it. But anyway, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're able to meet together and listen to the Word of God. But the most important thing is what we do this week as we go outside these doors, as we take your message outside these doors. Lord, we just pray that we will watch out for the potholes in our lives and not get caught up with potholes that other people may have. But Lord, we want to worship you. We want to spread your word in all that we do, in all that we say. The church does not stop here. The church starts here as we take it outside. Amen.
Amen.